The claim is that allowing illegal aliens to have a driver's license will enable them to find work and support their families. The facts are that many of those illegal aliens, thanks to states not following federal laws, also allowed to obtain CDLs and become over-the-road truck drivers. Now, considering the government's own stats about the frequency of vehicle-moving violations by illegals, that plus the overall fraud in the CDL licensing program does indeed raise a whole lot of concerns. Here with his insight into all this is a veteran of the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force, military veteran, author of the book Chasing Bandits, Luke Adler. Good morning, Luke.
Good morning, Chris. Good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure to always talk with someone who isn't afraid to reveal what too many others don't want to have known. And I worded the intro as I did, Luke, because I was able to get, this is the most recent stats, breakdown of subsequent convictions associated with criminal aliens placed in non-custodial settings in fiscal year 2013. That means convictions that occurred after illegal aliens were released from ICE custody. And just the first 1,000 on the list here, you can see one vehicle violation after another, speeding, manslaughter, vehicular homicide. So, and that's just with a couple of tons of a vehicle. When you put people with that inability to drive safely, to follow laws, that's just the tip of the iceberg, I know, as far as the CDL program is concerned. But for these states that make it sound like they're this magnanimous, benevolent, caring, loving organization because they want to make sure illegals have driver's licenses, they're really ignoring a lot of dangers.
Well, they really are. And if you think about it, Chris, going back to the original tower bombers, you know, when they flew those planes into the buildings, about 12 of those guys had fraudulently obtained driver's licenses. A driver's license is kind of a key to the kingdom. So you add into the mix these 80,000-pound vehicles, you know, they're 80,000-pound bullets moving up and down this highway, and the various different waste and chemicals and things like that that these guys could be hauling, and they may not even be able to read, write, or speak English. I've dealt with cases where they were actually illiterate in their own native language, and they came to the United States, they purchased a license, and then 24 hours, they're behind the wheel driving this 80,000-pound vehicle.
You know, for the states that allow this, is there something in it for the states where this fraud is continuing to exist? And it's not just illegal aliens. It's the mob. It's drug runners. It's drug dealers. I mean, the list of criminal activity goes on and on, well past the point of where most people are even aware of. And, you know, playing devil's advocate, maybe even some of the trucking companies are even unaware of some of the stuff that their drivers are doing. You figure that's an employee off the grounds of the business property for days, even weeks at a time.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. A lot of the trucking companies, legitimate trucking companies, they do a very good job policing themselves and letting us know when they see things that don't seem right to them. We've gotten calls from them saying, hey, you know, we tried to hire these guys. They have a commercial driver's license, and it says that they've been driving 3 or 4 years. We had them, we tested them before we put them out on the road, which is really smart.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to operate these things. And I said, well, yeah, absolutely, because they purchased their driver's licenses, their CDLs. And then you have the states that compound this because they come in there, this left-leaning thought that, hey, let's be benevolent and just give these folks driver's licenses, whether or not they can, operate, read, write, speak English, which is one of the requirements to have a commercial driver's licenses. So they really exacerbate the problem, the states do. I've actually wrote a report where I named a state as an unindicted co-conspirator in a federal case.
Well, that must have went over well.
It didn't go over well. The report was sent back to me, and they asked me to edit that portion out. But the reason I did that was to draw attention to say, hey, you know what? It's the states in this instance that are actually breaking the federal law, and they're allowing these people to obtain these things, and they're turning a blind eye. And when we called them on it, they told us basically, hey, you know, this is our business. We'll take care of it. You guys do your own thing. And we pointed out to them, well, you're in violation of state law and federal law, and you can't do it.
Well, Luke Adler, former member of the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force, military veteran, his book, Chasing Bandits, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. So, layperson thinking out loud here, if over-the-road truck drivers are going on the roads on a national scale, why are the CDLs a state licensing situation? Why shouldn't they be a national licensing program, maybe overseen by a state, but the documentation and the blessing that, yes, you've passed all the tests? Because who better than the federal government to make things more difficult to obtain?
Right. That's exactly right. And it is actually overseen by the federal government. And the laws are passed that govern interstate transportation, commercial vehicles. The problem is that the federal government is not set up to administer it on a day-to-day basis. The states are. So the states become the partner of the federal government to do these things. Well, the problem is you've got political pressure. You've got one faction saying, hey, let's be benevolent and give these licenses out, whole scale, you know, world without borders kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And then you've got another faction that's coming down saying, hey, we need more truck drivers. We need more workers out there, so let's just hand these things out like candy. The problem is it puts the citizens at risk. Every time you drive down the road and you see an 18-wheeler fly by and you think, well, that person should be professional, they certainly should know what they're doing, and they should be a competent driver. What you may not know is they don't read, write, or speak English, and they've only been here 72 hours, and now they have a fraudulently obtained driver's license. That's one of the problems with the system, Chris. These guys, the organized crime guys, set these things up, and they start to sell these licenses at $3,500 a pop, times 1,000 drivers out there who purchase their license. You know, and they give these things to these guys right after they arrive here. And I've actually seen where a case where a guy came here illegally. He's here a short time. He sets up his own trucking company. He buys his fraudulent driver's license. So it's fraudulently obtained, but it's actually in the system. So if a police officer or a state trooper were to pull him over and they run it, it appears to be valid, but it's actually fraudulently obtained. Those were the cases that we prosecuted here in St. Louis in the Eastern District of Missouri. So you just see what a huge, huge mess this thing is.
I've been talking with Lou Gadler, author of the book Chasing Bandits, here on Issues and Ideas. So is the penalty severe enough if someone gets caught, albeit challenging sometimes just because of how well counterfeited some of these CDLs are, is the penalty high enough to deter anybody, or is this something where the feds and the states really don't see a real priority with?
No, they don't see a real priority with it. And part of the problem is when we bring these cases to the government, in my experience, they allowed us to prosecute the masterminds behind the scheme, which is just a handful of people. And they would not allow us to go after the drivers themselves.
So the license,
if you have a driver helping to drive the scheme.
Yeah.
They show up with $3,500. You know, we take one scheme down and lock up a few people, send them to prison. There are a dozen people coming in behind them ready to take that up and take that risk for $3,500 a piece on these licenses.
That's amazing. It's only $3,500, and just think of what that becomes a key to for anyone who wants to do any ill will, never mind someone who's incompetent behind the wheel and can't understand a sign that says sharp curve ahead and know enough to slow down. I want to just wrap up with your book, Chasing Bandits, because everyone likes the inside stories of successes in law enforcement and crime fighting, and that's really the wheelhouse of Chasing Bandits. You give the reader a good detail of really how things are supposed to be done.
Well, I tried to. I tried to make it entertaining, a fast, quick, easy read, but also informative. The idea came to me, actually, my wife and daughter, they said, hey, Dad, you need to sit down and really put pen to paper and jot some of these stories down. Chasing Bandits, the job, actually, you know, pursuing fugitives, is the greatest job in the world, in my opinion. I absolutely loved it. And so I would live that day in, day out. And it's very rewarding to get out there on the street and take a really serious bad guy off the street, get out there, outsmart him, get him in the handcuffs, and, you know, put him into custody. that's what the book is about. I've gotten a lot of good feedback on it, people saying, hey, it's a quick, easy read, very entertaining, you know, and you jump from chapter to chapter on each of these individual bandits.
And it's also a great book, too, because, again, being three or four anonymous here, not every cop is a great cop, and when you hear, unfortunately, those are the ones who you hear about the most, with us far and few in between when it does happen, but when you can always turn to Luke's book, Chasing Bandits, and realize there are dedicated members of the law enforcement community who want to make things right and make sure the bad stuff stops happening, and Chasing Bandits gives you the inside behind the scenes, all that great stuff view of the reality of those situations and the dangers that are faced by law enforcement as well, which we know all too well, and some of those end in tragedy, but we honor the lives of all those in law enforcement who serve with a dedication and a sense to duty. And again, it's just a matter of knowing what you have as far as reality versus what's being presented as a benefit can present two different pictures. And when it comes to fraudulent CDLs, it sounds like an innocent, so, well, I guess that's nothing really big. But as you heard from Luke, and we've seen the results through report after report after report, this is one of those elements of sliding through, letting things slide through that really have to be changed, and hopefully that will become sooner versus later. We've been joined this morning by a veteran of the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force, author of the book Chasing Bandits, Luke Adler. Luke, thanks so much for your duty to law enforcement, which continues even in your retirement, and thanks for being here this morning.
Chris, thanks for having me. It's good to be with you.